work of this church so that we will sow bountifully and therefore, as a church, reap bountifully. Now, to get there, I think it's important to once again lay the foundation for cheerful giving. And I believe the foundation is in where we got what we got. How do you have what you have? First Chronicles 29, verses 10 through 16, I think do this really well. Reads like this. So David blessed the Lord in the sight of all the assembly. And David said, "Blessed are you, O Lord, God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. Indeed, everything that is in the heavens and the earth, yours is the dominion, O Lord, and you exalt yourself as head over all. Both riches and honor come from you, and you rule over all. And in your hand is power and might, and it lies in your hand to make great and to strengthen everyone. Now, therefore, our God, we thank you and praise your glorious name. But who am I and who are my people that we should be able to offer as generously as this? For all things come from you, and from your hand we have given you. For we are sojourners before you and tenants, as all our fathers were. Our days on the earth are like a shadow, and there is no hope. O Lord, our God, all this abundance that we have provided to build you a house for your holy name, it is from your hand, and all is yours." It's a prayer from King David. And David gives glory to God for all David and his people have, for God and for all that God has done, and for all that God will do. David says, "Everything that is in the heavens and the earth are of your making. You are head over all. Riches and honor come from you." That means the skills and the talents that you have to do your job, that came from God. Oh, we want to take the credit, but David has just clearly shown us where it all comes from. In your hand, O God, is power and might. In your hand lies the ability to make great and to strengthen everyone. And then I love what David does next. He humbles himself. "Who am I," he says, "who am I and who are my people that we should be able to offer as generously as this? For all things come from you." This abundance that we have provided to build you a house for your holy name, it is from your hand and all is yours. See, King David boils this down for us pretty well. So simple, really. It is all God's, but God willingly provides for his people. We see this restated very simply in Psalms 24, verse 1, where it says, "The earth is the Lord's and all it contains, the world and those who dwell in it." That's pretty simple, isn't it? And to the point. So remembering that it is all God's, remembering that as our kind of our backdrop, we are going to follow the money. We have provided a copy of our proposed budget, the one we'll vote on in a couple of weeks, in each of the bulletins that were handed out. And that proposed budget is essentially our sermon outline today. If you don't have one, could you put a hand up and we'll get one to you? Anybody need one? Or is Morris really efficient this morning? Morris was really efficient this morning. Awesome. The first expense category that you'll find on that, on page one, is for Sunday school. And we provide Sunday school for kids as young as 3 years old up through adults. In fact, we have three different adult classes going right now. The funds designated in these lines are used to provide material and to assist the teachers. So look with me I want to make sure that we understand that all we do, or all we try to do anyway, is scripturally based. So we're going to look at 2 Timothy 2, verse 2. 2 Tim 2, 2. Everybody get that? A lot of twos. "The things which you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also." See, funding in this category helps us to equip our teachers so that they can teach others, just as Paul has encouraged Timothy to do. And then we see in Romans 12, verse 2, as another basis for this kind of ministry, and it reads like this. Romans 12, 2, "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect." We've been talking a lot about change lately, right? We've been talking about the sanctification process, the being made holy process. And Paul, in this passage, is telling us one way we can be changed is by the renewing of our minds. Our minds are renewed by seeking a greater understanding of our Creator, the Father, by seeking a greater understanding of our Savior, Jesus Christ, by seeking a greater understanding of our Helper, the Holy Spirit. And one purpose in this renewing of our minds is so that we cannot be deceived by the great deceiver, but instead, we will know what the will of God is. We will know what is perfect. We will know what is acceptable to Him. And this same passage of Scripture is applicable to the Bible studies line. It is applicable, which is used, by the way, for a number of Bible studies that are held throughout the week. And all of these studies are listed in the bulletin every week. It's also applicable to the purchase of the daily bread devotionals. Anybody use those? We get 50 of those a quarter, I believe. It's also applicable to our junior church ministry, which applicable to our men's ministry, our women's ministry, our vacation Bible school, and even to our youth group. Also, to train those who teach, this passage also is applicable to the line item called ministry training. All of these ministries look to apply this concept of renewing our minds so that we may know what the will of God is. Well, let's turn over to Mark chapter 9, verses 36 and 37, where Jesus gives us this. "Taking a child, he set him before them, and taking him in his arms, he said to them, 'Whoever receives one child like this in my name receives me, and whoever receives me does not receive me, but him who sent me.'" What Jesus is doing here is he's quickly giving us a sense of the importance of children in these verses. And I believe one of the signs of a healthy church is the presence of children with their families. I love when I get to come up here and dismiss the kids to junior church. It's like a stampede to the back door. That's a good thing. It's a healthy thing. And this budget highlights this importance with Sunday school for school-age children, junior church, nursery, vacation Bible school, and youth group. Maintaining and growing the ministries that serve our children is critical to the health of any church. And some would say that children are the future of the church, but I believe that they are important to the very present state of the church as well. Right? Well, look with me now at Romans 12, verse 15. It's such a simple verse, but such an important verse. It says, "Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep." And this verse is the very basis for our cards line. The church sends out cards to rejoice with you on your birthday. Anybody receive a birthday card? We also send out cards to weep with you as you go through an illness or a surgery or a tragedy, such as a death in your family. We want to do that with each other. We want to rejoice with each other when there are things to rejoice about. We want to come alongside and weep with you when things are not going exactly as you would hoped. We want to be able to sympathize with you, empathize with you, and carry that burden with you. Look at me now at Galatians 6, verse 2. In that same kind of line, "Bear one another's burdens and thereby fulfill the law of Christ." The Bridging the Gap line does this as we meet the needs of the elderly and shut-ins by providing a once-a-month meal to them and giving them some social interaction as well. The Service Ministry line also is a strong example of bearing one another's burdens by helping with things like wood splitting and stacking and roof shoveling and light carpentry and other items like this that the Service Ministry has taken on over the years. Also, the benevolence line is used to help bear one another's burdens by helping pay bills that some cannot afford to pay on their own. The support of this budget gives to the New Hope Women's Shelter, Teen Challenge, and new this year, the Farmington or Western Maine Homeless Shelter, are also examples of helping bear burdens for others who cannot necessarily carry the load themselves. Then I want to look at Matthew 25, verses 37 to 40. This is Jesus saying, "Then the righteous will answer him, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? And when did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or naked and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and come to you?' And the king will answer and say to them, 'Truly I say to you, to the extent that you did it to one of these brothers of mine, even the least of them, you did it to me.'" So again, we see bridging the gap and the prison ministry lines directly related to this passage. I think bridging the gap right now is serving over 60 meals on the last Sunday, our last Saturday of each month. You guys had one coming up this week, right? Yeah. And there's more to be done in the prison ministries, but Dale Gilmore is leading that. There he is. He's already a presence in the Franklin and Somerset County jails, and we've been attending meetings of the Maine Prisoner Reentry Network to see what opportunities we as a church might have to help those who have done their time now become productive members of our society, right? Are we going to be able to exercise grace and mercy to these men and women? Now look with me now at Acts 1, verse 8. Again, Jesus speaking to his disciples, his apostles now, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and even to the remotest parts of the earth." These are the words of Jesus spoken to his apostles before his ascension. And this is one of his charges to the apostles and frankly to all believers. And it's fulfilled in part by our CD ministry. The CDs of each sermon are sent literally all over the country. And I know for a fact that at least some of these CDs are then shared a second or even a third time with others beyond the initial recipient of those CDs. We also accomplish this through short-term missions, sending some of our own to go and be his witnesses beyond Franklin and Somerset counties. We heard the testimony just last week of Shelley Zobisch, talking about her recent trip to Kenya to minister to widows in that place. And in years past, we have sent people and money to construction projects, both in-state and out-of-state, helping churches either construct or reconstruct or add on to buildings for the purposes of ministering to their local assembly. Our support of the Maine Baptist Association guarantees that churches in Maine have the resources they need to reach their communities and the communities near to them, their own Jerusalem, their own Samaria, their own Judea. Our own Keith Lawrence right now is working with Main Street Baptist in Brunswick to help them find another pastor. The same is happening at J Baptist Church this morning, working that same angle, looking for help. Our support of the Baptist Convention of New England, or BCNE, as it shows up in our budget, supports the cooperative program of the Southern Baptist Convention, which supports missionaries literally all over the world, both in North America and abroad. Jesus also gave his disciples this charge found in the Great Commission in Matthew 28, verses 18 to 20, which reads like this: "And Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, 'All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age.'" So much of what we do as the body of Christ is wrapped up in the Great Commission. This concept of mission work can be summed up in the very first word of verse 19, go. and we are sending in many ways. We're also working hard at the remaining pieces of the Great Commission. We are making disciples or students through all of the teaching ministries we've already highlighted this morning: Sunday school, junior church, men's ministry, women's ministry, VBS, and youth group. Disciple making is happening in all of these places and in the Bible studies. I don't think I had that in there. We are baptizing. This year to date, we've baptized 3 people. And maybe that doesn't sound like many, but frankly, it's greater than the New England average for churches our size. Going also looks like what we are doing at things like Kingfield Days and the Kingfield Pops, where we are going and being a presence for God in our communities. And hopefully in these events and in these areas, we're earning the invitation to have the conversation. And same story for our new event this year, the family fair that we held at the Thorndike Farm. These are all being funded under the special events line item this year. And do not miss this. We do not go and do in our own strength, right? The Great Commission ends this way, but lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. We do this in the power and the wisdom of Jesus, with the Helper, the Holy Spirit, guiding us along the way. Look with me now at Hebrews 10, verses 23 to 25. It reads like this: "Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near." It's one of my favorite verses in Scripture, because it makes it so clear that Christianity is supposed to be lived out in community. Both verses 24 and 25 emphasize the importance of other believers in our lives. We're called to stimulate one another to love and good deeds. We are to assemble together for the purpose of encouragement, the building up of the body. The fellowship ministry is clearly directed to bring us together for the purpose of building relationships and giving us opportunity to stimulate each other to love and good deeds. We get to do that next week after the service. We meet together at least once per week, and for some of us, it's more often than that, so that we can encourage one another, so that we can spur one another on to love and good deeds. In this Sunday morning service, the intent is to encourage and to teach and to worship and to praise our God and King. And line items such as the praise team music, which I'm sorry you had to hear the guys and not the ladies, because they do a much better job than us. But that's part of what we do here. The technical line is our basically our visual and audio component of our worship. John and David handling the sound booth, you being able to read the scriptures on the screen, being able to read the words on the screen for the songs. And our worship supplies are all there to enhance this experience of Sunday morning. Many of the items on the back page are also intended to make this experience, our Sunday morning experience, a good one for all who attend and for any who come into this building during the week for other events. We keep the lights on. We keep the building warm. We keep the building clean. We keep the grass mowed. We pay the insurance in case of property damage. We keep the parking lot plowed and sanded in the winter. We pay our mortgage. We have a phone so the public can get information about who we are and what we do. Thought it'd be a good idea for us to kind of walk together through a typical week at Western Mountains Baptist Church. It starts on Sunday morning at about 8 o'clock in the morning when the praise team and the technical folks come to practice for the regular service. If you had heard us this morning at 8:30, you might not have come at 10. Just saying. And then at 9 a.m., Sunday school begins for anyone from 3 years old, as I said before, up through us old people. Our regular service begins at 10. And then tonight, a group of us will meet for a Bible study at about 6 o'clock. On Monday, the men meet for a Bible study from 6:30 to around 8. There's also a group that gets together at 6 p.m. to work through the Daniel plan, kind of a health and wellness meeting. Every other Tuesday, we either have a pastor elders deacon meeting or a church leadership team meeting. And on the off Tuesdays, the women gather for fellowship and Bible study. Wednesday mornings, a group of women meet for a Bible study at 9 a.m. Thursday nights, the youth group meet here at 6 p.m. and another group meets here for a Bible study at 6:30 p.m. On Saturday nights, a group comes and meets for prayer at 6 p.m., praying for this service, praying for our communities, praying for other area churches, and whatever other specific needs become known to this group that prays. On the first Saturday of the month, the men meet for a breakfast. On the last Saturday of the month, Bridging the Gap comes and prepares meals and then delivers meals using this building as a home base. I try to be here in my office at least on Tuesdays and Thursdays, as well as Wednesday mornings while the women have their Bible study. I'm sometimes here on portions of Mondays and Fridays. Here's my point. This building is under continuous use all throughout the week. And all of those operating expense line items help make this all go. One of the, it's hard not to notice, one of the significant line items in the budget is the payroll expense. And since I am the only paid person here at Western Mountains, this line item goes mostly to me. The obvious exception is workers' comp insurance, but this line includes this year a significant increase over last year, and I want to thank the trustees for their vote of confidence. And I want to look at 1 Timothy 5, verses 17 to 18, to sort of address that issue. It reads like this. The elders who rule well are to be considered worthy of a double honor, especially those who work hard at preaching and teaching. For the scripture says, you shall not muzzle the ox while he is threshing, and the laborer is worthy of his wages. So on December 1, you all get to decide if I should be considered worthy of a double honor, or do you think I work hard at preaching and teaching? Well, that gets us through most of the budget, and it's a faith-based budget, meaning that we are, by faith, assuming some growth, both numerically and financially. Therefore, it's important to understand what we do and why we do it, right? It's much easier to stand behind a purpose-driven church, and our purpose is to be a kingdom-focused church. So let me close with this challenge, and it's not a challenge that I made up. God already stated it. I'm just sharing it with you. It's found in Malachi chapter 3, verses 8 through 12. Reads like this. Will a man rob God? Yet you are robbing me. But you say, how have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you are robbing me, the whole nation of you. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, so that there may be food in my house, and test me now in this, says the Lord of hosts. If I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you a blessing until it overflows, then I will rebuke the devourer for you, so that it will not destroy the fruits of the ground, nor will your vine in the field cast its grapes, says the Lord of hosts. All the nations will call you blessed, for you shall be a delightful land, says the Lord of hosts. Set the stage a little bit here. The people were asking for God's blessing, yet they were not acting in obedience to God by giving back the tithe. God, through Malachi, asked the question, will a man rob God? Are we robbing God by our lack of obedience in our giving? And the best part, right? This is my favorite. Bring the whole tithe, that's 10% of the first fruits, into the storehouse so that there may be food in my house. And here's my favorite. And test me now in this. Test me now in this. Hear me. God, the same God of Malachi's day, says this. Test me now in this. Bring the whole tithe and see if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you a blessing until it overflows. And God continues in verse 11 and 12, not only will I bless you, but I will also protect you. You see that? God promises to rebuke the devourer, that's Satan, so that he will not destroy the fruit of our labor. We just spent the morning looking at the labor that we intend to do as a church through 2020, through all of these different ministries. Our hope here is that Satan will not destroy this fruit. And then the next promise, all the nations will call you blessed. As God does all this for those within the family, will it not become obvious that good things are happening within the body of Christ? Will it not be obvious that God is at work in His people? Think of the impact we could make even beyond what we already do. I really do think that the world would call us blessed and we would be a delightful land, for we would find ourselves in the center of God's will, following Him in obedience. See? I truly believe that giving, tithing, is really, it's not all about the money. It's all about humble obedience and faith. See, what God is saying in this passage in Malachi is this: do you trust me to provide all your needs on 90% of your pay, or would you rather live on 100% of your pay without my blessing? And what will be our answer? Let me conclude with this. The purpose this morning, the purpose of this message is first to inform, right? The purpose was to follow the money. I want us to all be aware of what we do as a church body with the funds that each of you provide as part of your giving. But much more importantly, I want us to see and understand that giving is something that God sees as important. For we are just stewards, caretakers of what God has given us. See, that's what King David told us this morning in 1 Chronicles. And it's what the psalmist told us. As we give back, God says, I will bless you to overflowing. I will protect you from the evil one. I will show you such favor that the community will see my favor on you and call you blessed, call you a delightful land. So my prayer this morning, take the challenge this coming year to support the work of the church and to see if God will not pour out blessings that you cannot even contain in your storehouse. Let's pray. Father, I look out across my friends, my family, and I just see how you've blessed so mightily, so thoroughly already this church with the people, with the resources that each of these people represent, their gifts, their talents, their abilities. And I already call us blessed. I already call us rich. For I see how many are here and involved in doing and being all that you're calling them to do and be. Lord, I'm grateful for the foresight of the trustees here to put forth this faith-based budget, one where, Lord, we rely upon you to grow us. Lord, I pray that as we consider all the different things that we are about, that we would be sure that we maintain a kingdom focus, having your kingdom on earth as it is in heaven, working toward that end. Lord, I know it's uncomfortable to talk about money, to talk about finances, yet we see in your word that you do it over and over and over again. Yet the core here, it's not really about money, but about obedience. So Lord, may we be a people that is humbly obedient to your word, taking up the challenge to test you in this, that you might not pour out a blessing that we could not even contain. Pray you'll do a mighty work in each one. I pray you'd fill us with the Holy Spirit, that we would be about your work, your way, here in our communities. And I pray these things in the precious name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. Would you join us as we close in song?